Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom.
I bring my greetings from Israel and Jerusalem. I bring my greetings from my wife and my daughter. And I bring greetings from the other brethren that are in the congregation with us in Israel. Like I said when I came, it is a great blessing to be here with you. And Yahweh has put me in these last days to bring His message all throughout the world. And the message is moving very fast. The main avenue we use for that message is the website.
A website, computer.
In the Matthew 24 project through the website.
Matthew 24 for Jagbo, take a website.
I fully believe Yahweh inspired that program almost 3 years ago. When we started that program almost 3 years ago, we were getting roughly 500 people every day to the website. Today we get 5,000 people every day. Millions of people every year. Coming to the truth. Every month we get people from more than 200 different countries. And like Yahweh's word says, the law will go forth from Zion and into all the earth to the nations. I thank you for your faithfulness here in one of those nations. I don't look at you as Ethiopians or Sudanese. I look at you as Israelites. But even more than that, I look at you as brothers and sisters. It's not a very easy job that I have. And that's what makes coming here to you so much good. Because even as the Apostle Paul said almost 2,000 years ago, there's many people who are against the good news of Yeshua. And they fight me against that good news. But I stand fast. And I'll fight for this good news till my last breath. So your support really means a lot. And I really love the brethren here. And that's why we're trying every way we can to help you how we can. And you're never alone. You have brethren all over the world praying for you every day. Some brethren, they send tithe to Jerusalem. And they say, only use this tithe for the brethren in Ethiopian South Sudan. And that's coming from Yahweh, because Yahweh hears your cry. And He's blessing you for your faithfulness. I want to go to Luke the 10th chapter. In verse 21. It says, in the same hour Yeshua rejoiced in the spirit and said, I praise you, Father, Master of heaven and earth, that you hid these things from the wise and the prudent and revealed them to children. Yes, Father, because so it was pleasing before you. All things were delivered to me by my Father. And no one knows who the Son is except the Father. And who is the Father except the Son? And he to whom the Son may desire to reveal him. And having turned to the disciples alone, he said, blessed are the eyes seeing what you see. For I say to you, many prophets and kings desired to see what you see and did not. And to hear what you hear and did not. And this is what makes you different than all your neighbors out here. You may look the same. You may eat the same food. You may live in the same area. But you have something they don't have. You have the original good news of Yeshua coming from Jerusalem. And an unbroken chain since 30 AD when Yeshua died and was resurrected. I wrote this book this last year. You may have seen it. It's called The Gates of Hell Shall Not Prevail Against You. I gave some to your elder Quill. But of course, there's only so many copies he could bring back. But really, I said to him, we need to get every family a copy of this book. Even if it's not like a book like this, but we can print it somewhere locally. Because this is the greatest witnessing tool you have to your neighbors. If Yahweh is one, why do you have thousands of churches? If Yeshua walked down the street today, what church would he enter? Would he enter the Catholics?
No.
Would he enter the Muslims? Would he enter the Protestants? No way. Would he enter the Seventh-day Adventists?
They were Adventists. They were forced.
You're getting closer, but no way. Yeshua said in Matthew 16, I will build my congregation and the gates of hell, the gates of the grave, the gates of death would not prevail against
it.
He said, my congregation, one congregation. He didn't say thousands of congregations. All started with religion for the last 2,000 years. But I show in this book, starting with Yeshua ordaining the 12 apostles, Mark the third chapter,
Mark,
in verse 14, thank you, sister, that he ordained the 12. And then when Yeshua was resurrected,
go ahead.
He breathed on the 12 apostles and they received the Holy Spirit. And they had the original authority that comes from Yeshua. Then we know the Apostle Paul was also called in the same way. And we know in the book of Timothy that Paul sent, or rather, I'm sorry, the book of Titus.
Book Titus.
Paul sent Titus ordaining elders in every congregation. Now, when you go to these churches that I was talking about, they're having you join a church. You're signing a paper, you're joining a church. You could look throughout your whole Bible. The word church is not in the Bible. The word church comes from a pagan deity, Circe. And a church is like a building with a steeple. And that steeple is from a phallic symbol, the male organ. The male organ. It comes from paganism. But Yahweh, he doesn't have a church, he has a congregation. In Hebrew, it's Ida Yahweh. Because the congregation is us, we're the people. A building is very nice. I'm very happy to see your building. And it fits a purpose for meeting. But the building is not the congregation. The people are the congregation. And John 6:44 says, no man can come to me unless the Father draws him. So when you preach the real good news, and people ask you, how can I join this? You tell them you can't join it. You don't pick Yahweh, Yahweh picks you. And that's why you're not out there with a megaphone screaming to people to listen. No, you have the greatest tool that Yahweh can ever give you. We have the original Bible from 2,000 years ago. Now, beside having the right name of Yahweh and Yeshua in this Bible, and having the right translation in this Bible, there's something else that's very important about this Bible. It's the only Bible in the world that shows Yeshua's name in the Old Testament, the Tanakh. And also has the book order in the right place. Could you imagine reading a book? And you're at chapter 10, chapter 11, chapter 12. Then you get to chapter 30. And you're wondering, what's going on here? Then all of a sudden, chapter 17. Then chapter 35. It's chaos. And that's why the Bible was put together in a certain order. The New Testament. It's called the Brit Hadashah in the Hebrew and the Aramaic. First you have the four good news messages, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Then the Acts of the Apostles. And then within judicial order, you have the seven epistles of the major leaders of the congregation there. Jacob, John, Peter, and Jude. Then you have the epistles of Paul, starting with Hebrews, because it's the Hebrew epistle. And then, of course, you have the book of Revelation. So Yahweh put it in a certain order that way. And when you read it, it makes sense. So you don't have to convince anybody of anything. All you have to do is bring this truth. And the ones that Yahweh is calling out of darkness into light, they're going to come to the light. This is the way we've been doing it for 2,000 years. Yeshua sent them out two by two, one on one. And personally, you go and you share that good news. But your life has to back it up. Because what good is bringing this good news if you're not living it? Many times when Jewish people see us in Israel, and I'm powerfully able to witness of these things, they'll say, "Who are you?" They'll say, "We never heard words like this before." I spoke to a congregation several years ago in the United States of Babylon. It was not Congregation of Yahweh, but it was other congregation invited me. When I was done speaking, a woman raised her hand. And she said, in the Bible, it said Yeshua spoke with authority. She said, today we heard someone speaking with authority. We just came from Addis Ababa. And they're having a big conference up there with the African Union. And I actually got to meet several ambassadors from the African countries there. And I very confidently told them, I'm the ambassador from Jerusalem, Yahweh's ambassador. See, we don't represent any earthly government. We represent the heavenly government. Where the earthly government is always going to fail, the heavenly government will go on forever. So now that we're in this, in Hebrew we call it balagan, this mix-up. That you have all the different religions. It can be confusing to the people out there. And they say, well, if Yeshua is one, then why are there all these religions? But Yahweh thought about that 2,000 years ago. Yahweh knows the beginning from the end. The Apostle Paul prophesied of our time we're living in today. In 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter. In the end time, men will be lovers of money, lovers of self, braggers. Without natural affection, disobedient to parents. So Yahweh knows these things. And that's why he had Yeshua ordain 12. Who ordained others? Who ordained others? And here we are today. History doesn't lie.
And history
I have in this book 258
footnotes.
I've been studying this topic of congregational history for more than 30 years. Many of the quotes I have in this book are from documents between the 4th century and the 18th century. Many of them don't even exist. They're almost impossible to find today, and I've had them in my files. And this is what the history tells us. Just like we read in Acts the 8th chapter, and maybe I'll go there. that Yahweh has judicial order. Somebody can't just come on their own and go out and start doing things without judicial order. Because it will be chaos. If one of you wanted to be a doctor, you wouldn't come up and say, "Let me try." Here, bring him over. I'll cut his head open and try. No, you go to school for many, many years. And then when your school is over, you have to learn from an experienced person for a certain amount of time. And then after that, you're able to go out. And this is exactly how the congregation in the wilderness did it. These people, they called the world, called them Waldenses. Some of them called other names from where they lived. In Sabbatai, in different names like that, because they were Sabbath keepers. But these were people that were outside of the world. And for almost 1,000 years, from about 700 to 1500, they were the main branch of Yahweh's congregation. They had a place that was in the mountains of Italy, right near France. It was their headquarters in the diaspora. And it was called the School of the Barbs. I was blessed by Yahweh to actually visit it. It's still there today. And that's where the elders used to train the young ones to be elders. And then when a young man was ready to come into the ministry, they would go out two by two. He'd go with an elder. And he would learn from the elder. Now, if you look at the world today, in the chaos in religion, it's only a miracle of Yahweh that Yeshua could have given us this doctrine 2,000 years ago. And we would still have it today. The Sabbath day, the holy days, baptism in water, complete immersion, laying on of hands of an elder, ordination of elders by another elder, teaching repentance from dead works, and of course the resurrection of the dead, in a physical kingdom on earth of 1,000 years when Yeshua returns. I didn't make these things up. It was given to me by the elder who ordained me. And that elder came from the line of M.L. Bartholomew. He was ordained by Bartholomew. And Bartholomew was ordained by Elder Duggar. Elder Duggar was ordained, I believe, by his father. So it's judicial order, it's the same. Yahweh has to put the judicial order.
Yahweh, take a judicial order, take it.
And that's why it's so exciting to have our Ambassador for Israel program. Because I teach the leaders what it means to be an ambassador. And your senior elder here can tell you how important that training is. I wish I can bring all of you there. And some of your elders have been there and they know the importance of it. But we need to bring more of your elders. And also some of your ladies. And I want to bring some of the youth too. Because like I said, ambassador doesn't go out on himself, an ambassador is sent. And it's a work that all of us are part of. So, after the apostles, John was the last apostle. He lived to about 100
AD.
And then John had ordained a man called Polycarp. A great man of faith. In the 2nd century, about the year 110 AD, the bishops of Rome started keeping Sunday instead of Shabbat. Now remember, the temple was already destroyed. Many of the brethren fled to Asia Minor, to the north. Modern-day Turkey. And it was a very hard time for believers. But Polycarp was a real man of faith. And he stood for the truth. And we have his testimony here. They sent him to come to take Polycarp, and they were going to burn him at the stake. When the soldiers came in, he fed them. And he asked, would you give me 1 hour for prayer? His prayer was so fervent that the soldiers had tears, they didn't want to take him. Now he's an old man, he's 86 years old. And they said, look, all you have to do is deny Yeshua. Give your allegiance to the Emperor of Rome, and we'll let you go. And Polycarp said, 86 years Yeshua never left me. I will never leave him. They took him to burn him at the stake. And all of a sudden, he wasn't burning. It was a miracle. But a soldier came and stuck a sword in his side, like with
Yeshua.
And his blood and water came out and put out the fire, and he died. After this, there was his disciple called Polycrates. And again, being threatened by the bishops of Rome, that you stop keeping Passover on the 14th of the first month, or we'll throw you out of the congregation. And he said, Yeshua kept the Passover on the 14th of the first month. The apostles kept the Passover on the 14th of the first month. And Polycarp, who ordained him, who kept Passover with John and Philip, all kept the Passover on the 14th day of the first month of the biblical calendar. And he said, I will not be threatened by you. For greater men than I said, I'd rather obey Yahweh than man. I share these things with you because you're here on the front lines. You see the enemy coming in. And the enemy isn't Islam. It's not any kind of country. The enemy is the devil, Satan's spirit that he puts in fanatical Islam. But we know even Nazis that have repented and come to faith. Even radical Islamists that have repented and come to faith. So they have nothing here to us to intimidate us by. Because like the title of this book, The Gates of Hell Will Not Prevail Against Us. That we have something so powerful, a message that's so powerful, that nobody has that message of the resurrection of the dead. That if we are faithful to this Bible, and obedient to Yahweh's commandments, including the Sabbath, all his commandments are equal, then man can take your flesh, but they can't take your spirit. And that's what we live for. Now, as time went on, another man came. He's the Emperor of Rome. His name is Constantine. Very evil man. But this man has a dream. And he sees a cross in his dream. And then he wins the battle. And he says, I am a Christian. And that's why we don't use the term Christian. We know from the Bible, early believers, they use the term more messianic. But some use the term Christian. But when Constantine came, he added something totally different to that word. He took all of the paganism of Christmas, Ishtar Sunday,
Easter Sunday, like star,
Baal worship,
and
he blended it in and made a new religion called Christianity. And most of these people out here that are part of Christianity, they have no idea. And that's why we don't criticize them or laugh at them. But we want to deliver them from the death of that religion that doesn't exist. And that's why I say how powerful the truth is. Well, after Constantine made a decree that all true believers would be killed if they didn't join his Christianity. The brethren had to flee underground. They flee to Armenia, in Asia
Minor.
Some of the areas even where Noah's Ark was. And where they found the original Aramaic Bible that's more than 1900 years old. 1900 years. And in here I have the quotes of those brethren saying they're putting the Bible in Aramaic. They have it in Aramaic. And for 1,000 years those brethren stuck to the truth and fought hard. But they were persecuted. From the year 1000 to the year 1400, more than 3 million of our brethren were killed in Europe by the Catholic Church. And yet it still could not be stamped out. They moved more north to Italy and some even up near Great Britain.